That's what I mean. Fourth and Fantasy, we are back. It's me, Hancho, and my good guy. Almost said your name for you.
Siriaco. You can call me Rocco. You can call me whatever the heck you want.
Man, I'm feeling good, Rocco. The fantasy, well, I will say majority of my fantasy football games are done. I have two championships that are still going on right now for Week 18. Stupidest thing I have ever seen. A lot of my stars are being ruled out left and right. Teams are being either being put on IR or they're just sitting there, starters in general. So before we get into the nitty-gritty, I'm looking into the camera right here. If you ever thought it was a good idea to make a championship game 2 weeks, I almost said the word you're not allowed to say. That's stupid as hell. Don't do it. All right. The guy I'm going to are complaining back and forth that we don't like this shit. Because his players are being rolled out left and right. My players are getting rolled out left and right. And it's a pay league.
Just don't do it. Just don't do it. You're going to have people not want to play football, fantasy football with you anymore.
Mm-mm. But I am feeling a little heavier, Rocco. I'm feeling like I got a few more championships under my belt after last week. How about yourself?
Oh, I got 6 championships.
Ooh.
6.
Yeah, y'all hear this.
6 out of 25. 5 of those were rebuilds, so yeah. 6 out of 20 that I was competing in. It was a good feeling. It was a good feeling. There was one in particular, Super Friends, mm-hmm. where I was down 87 points going into Monday night, and I had my two quarterbacks. I had Jared Goff, Brock Purdy, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, I didn't think I could do it, but in the first half, Brock Purdy was scoring touchdowns every time down.
Left him, man. What?
they had the lateral, which confused the hell mm-hmm. out of me because the scoring changed on it about 5 times. It went from a Jared Goff, Jameson Williams touchdown, and then at halftime it changed to a Jared Goff, Amon-Ra St. Brown touchdown because he did the lateraling. And then it finally settled at a Jared Goff touchdown. But I couldn't figure out what the points were because I went from down maybe 29 points to down 19 points and then back down 29 points at halftime. But, man, when you are down a considerate amount of points on Monday Night Football, you know, almost damn near 100 points and you come back, man, that's just a fun feeling.
And yeah, man.
I know it sucks for Chris, who I played. It has to suck for him. But let me tell you, I've been in that position. So it was fun for finally, you know, the odds to turn in my favor. But, yeah, it was a good year. It was a good year. I won my home league.
Good job, brother.
I won, leagues in a variety of different cash outs. I won cash. I won leak safe money. I won some Venmo. I won some Cash App. It's it was really nice to finally. This is definitely my most successful year, and I'm looking forward to having more successful years going forward and helping you, the viewer, out as well. You know, win that money.
100%. And like we like to say this a lot when we are giving you guys this knowledge of, we're just not talking out of our asses, right? It's just not. The things that we do, we're not just giving you the information. And on our end, we don't have any championships. I think in whole, if we're looking at all of the final, all of the fourth and fantasy team, I think we're in the double digits in championships won this year. So it's the work that we put in, the information that we give you all, we do the exact same thing. And it has very much getting us 2 championships, if not 2 of the championship game. With that boy Rocco pointing at. So, yeah, we can't. And no, what the kind of the the topic that kind of popped in my head was, people will be like, oh, how do you get to the point where you're making money from, you know, fantasy football, right? It's years, man. And for the viewers, I just started playing Dynasty last year, so the 2023 season, but I've been in plenty of redraft leagues and played redraft numerous years. It's not the same thing as Dynasty. It is a learning curve, but things that you implement in redrafts, you can bring over to Dynasty, and just how you think about organically how you build your teams, right? That's how you need to figure out, get your identity of how you want to build your teams. I had a really good regular season. I had a decent playoff experience. I did win championships. There were championships that I did just lose. I got blown out, and it happens. I'm just happy that I made it to the game. You know what I mean? That lets me know that I'm doing what I need to do to get to where I want to be for that team. And then the teams that I'm still rebuilding in, or orphan teams that I took over, I know I'm heading in the right direction because I've loaded up all season. This goes back to what we preached throughout the 2024 season, knowing what your team is and how close you are to a championship. If you weren't gathering 2025 picks, 2026 picks, however you want to make a run, if you were just sitting on your hands and your team sucked, you are very much at a disadvantage right now. If you are, and this is, we're like 3-4 days into the offseason, if you will, if your championships are already over, Don't be that person who's already making trades. I've seen really bad trades this first few days. Really bad. Okay, take your time. There's literally rush. The draft isn't until April. Okay, we don't even know about combines. The next season, training camps don't even start till like July. Next season don't start till September. So from January to April to September, those are your times to be making trades. You shouldn't be making no trade unless it's a really good one. Someone comes to you, it's something that you can't miss, yet you can't pass up. Go ahead and make that trade.
I'll say one of the secret moves or maneuvers you can make during this time is to keep an eye on the new people. The people that are replacing orphans, because a lot of times, maybe like 75% of the time, this new person's gonna come in and he's gonna clean shop. He's gonna start trading everything and immediately go to rebuild, because usually this year will be free for him, and he or she will look at this as a complete rebuild year. So if you see a new person come in and they immediately start making moves, get in on it, because you can find value there. Because a lot of times they're not necessarily looking at a one-for-one value. They just want to get draft picks, draft compensation, young players, and they're going to trade off all their studs. So just keep an eye out for that, because you don't want to be the guy that's out on this while all of the teams, all of your competition's getting stronger by, you know, stripping every part off of these new teams. So that's the one instance where I would kind of be active. Just be mindful of the new person coming in, because you got to keep in mind, they didn't draft any of the players they inherited. So they don't have that attachment to those players necessarily. That are on that team. And me, when I take over a new team, 9 times out of 10, I'm totally rebuilding, unless it's a really good team that's ready to go. So that's the one instance where I would be very active, is keep an eye on these new owners and see if they're willing to deal.
And so, thinking about the 2024 season in whole, right? What was one of your takeaways after, unless you still have games still going on? If not, how, looking back at your 2024 fantasy season, how are you going to transition that to the 2025 season? Because you did say this year was your best, like most successful. Probably if when you bring it in turn, when you're successful, that brings a lot more fun than when you're sucking, right? So from your 2024 season, what can you take away from that to keep on a strong path for that 2025?
Well, one of the things is the players you like, the players you believe in, the players you truth for, still try to add them, still, you know, still believe in them, still make moves to get them. Like, one of the most common players that I had on my teams that won championships was Jonathan Taylor. And I know he wasn't having a good season up until the last, actually in the playoffs, he basically won a lot of championships.
Yes.
With his outrageous performances in the last few weeks. But I got him for essentially a late first. My first, the 1.12, which it wound up being.
That's all? That's all?
Well, actually, I could pull it up, but I think I gave up my first and Kamani Vidal, who I do like. I do like Vidal, but he didn't do shit this season. I do like him. I gave up my first, which is the 1.12, and Kamani Vidal for Jonathan Taylor. And a late pick, like a
y'all did me dirty. You and Max did me dirty in Triple Crown, man. You got that boy for a late round. I had to give y'all two first round picks to get Jonathan Taylor.
Hey, you got two first. You got two first. Shit. Did he win you the championship?
He got me to the championship. He definitely did. So I can't be mad at that.
And another thing I'll say is, if you have a shot and your trade windows or trading is open in your leagues, stay aggressive. I gave up an early second for Chigakonkwo and Brian Robinson. And they didn't kill, but they got me 26 points. And nobody on my bench scored anything.
I saw that
all
trade.
My guys were injured. And those 26 points won me $200. So, or $125 when you think of the to 75 second place. So, it's moves like that. Like, you just got to stay aggressive. And if you have conviction in your team, if you don't think your team could win, you should already be rebuilding. So,
100%.
And that team in Super Friends, I had the worst luck. My record was under 500 until like maybe the last three games of the season. But I was the highest scoring team in that league, and that's what gave me conviction that I could win a ship with that team. And I pretty much emptied out most of my picks to try to win this championship. But in my opinion, I still have a lot of assets on that team, so I could easily trade back into the draft. Or trade for, you know, drafted guys after the draft, because that team is just is loaded with startable players. So don't be scared to trade those picks if you got a shot at winning.
When Rocco made that trade, I remember the notification coming on my phone that a trade was just processed, and I was like, all right, let me see what the trade was. And then I looked, I was like, oh, that boy that boy Rocco fleeced. When I say fleeced, that he got Chigo and he got Brian Robinson for like a second. Fleeced. Everybody in the league was like, oh, yo, what's going on? Like, are you okay?
I didn't really want to make that trade, to be honest, because we say second, but it is like the 2.2 or 2.3, so it's going to be a hell of a player in this draft. And I'd sat with that trade for about 3 days just to see if my players would play, but I think it was Waddle got ruled inactive. Somebody else got ruled inactive. and I wouldn't have, and it's a very deep starting lineup requirements in that league, so I would have been starting, you know, guys that's not even getting snaps in the championship game. So thank you, Jeff. I appreciate you making that offer, and you helped me win my championship.
Sure did. He sure did. So shout out to you. Well, not shout out to you, because I was on a good track to get into that chip until Seriaco knocked my ass out. So I'm not bitter. I'm not. No.
That's because you talk shit too early, man. The fantasy guys.
I did, brother. I did.
You were talking best before any of my guys even played.
Bro, it was that shit. If I had to think about a game all 2024, that was probably my most humbling game all 2024, by far. Most humbling. I thought I had that shit in the book. I was telling Rocco, like, see you next year, my G. You know what I mean? Nah. When the tables turned, it was bad, man.
Man, I've talked so much shit in fantasy, and it always come back to kick me in the ass. I don't know who these people out here talking shit and winning ships. Man, good for you guys. No. But as somebody that's lost my home league championship game 4 times and finally won it this year, you know, I stay humble. My buddy came up with a phrase. He calls it "stay humble and watch them all crumble."
Yeah, I'm gonna be tight-lipped. I'm not talking no more. If I get to the champion, good game.
Talk your shit after you won that. What happened? You won it.
So, one of the topics I did want us to think about or just go over on discussion. Since we're at the end of the year, this is the last week of the regular season. NFL awards. You know, who do you think is going to be the MVP? The offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year, offensive rookie of the year, etc. You know, I think it's been a lot of talk. MVP, I think throughout the season, the MVP, who we thought the MVP was, has transitioned so many times. It's been Josh Allen. It's been Lamar. It's been Saquon. It's been Derrick Henry at one point when he was going crazy. So who do you think deserves to be MVP this year?
Is it who I think will get picked or who I would pick personally?
Okay, I like that. Give me who you think will win it, but who do you think also should win it?
I think it's probably easily, if I had money on it, I think Josh Allen wins it. I mean, you know, that team lost Stephon Diggs and actually got better. And he had just an amazing year. I mean, I can't take anything away from him. He had a really good year, and he's been in that conversation for a few years. So I think Josh Allen wins the award outright.
But who do you think should win it?
Lamar Jackson, no doubt. No doubt. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson's by far the best player in the league. I mean, to have over 4,000 yards and 900 yards on the ground. I'm looking at it right here. Mm-hmm. This guy.
No, he was the first quarterback to have, I think, 800. They said 800 rushing yards and I think 4,000 passing yards.
Yeah, fuck that. He had 900 yards. Damn near had 1,000 yards on the ground, which is a great year for a running back. And almost 4,200 in the air. 41 touchdowns in the air. I'm not seeing it right here, but I know he had 900 yards on the ground. I believe it was 4 touchdowns on the ground.
This year?
I believe so.
Yeah, so Lamar, I believe, had 4 touchdowns this year. Yeah.
4 touchdowns on the ground, yeah. So,
yep.
You know, 45 total touchdowns, only 4 interceptions all year. I mean, you know, for a guy that Bill Polian, the dipshit that he is, thought he should be a wide receiver. Like, fuck that guy. He's just like,
fuck that man.
you know, people should shit on him more often because that is just the dumbest thing.
Throwing tomatoes at your dumb ass.
You know, and probably some racist undertones to it. But Lamar Jackson, I mean, like, this dude is just incredible. I mean, you know, he just gets better every year when people...
He does.
Think when people think, you know, he's going to regress, he's one hit away from, you know, his career really ending. Let me tell you, he probably takes less hits than pocket passers because he just has an innate ability to avoid contact even when running, while pocket passers, you know, are always in danger.
Get fucked up. Side.
Get, like, they take the worst hits because they're just statues.
They can't move. Kirk Cousins can't move. What's getting fucked up?
Can't move. You know, and there are running quarterbacks that do take a pound in Anthony Richardson, but this guy is just on a different level. If he was just purely a runner, he would probably be, you know, a top five running back. I mean, he's just incredible. I mean, and his team has a great winning record, and their defense was dog shit for a good portion of the year. So
they still dog
now
shit.
Now that they got, ever since they put Kyle Hamilton at deep safety, that defense has gotten a lot better. You can look at the games; they're just fucking destroying teams now, and they are a very dangerous team. I want to say they are my favorite to win the ship, just because that team is really good and they have the best player in the world.
Them boys ain't winning shit, and I'm only being a hater because that's my brother's favorite team. Baltimore Ravens, and if he gets a chip, I'm not going to be able to hear the end of that shit. He be like, oh, we got a championship. What about your Cowboys, though? And then still fucking go Dallas Cowboys. I don't give a fuck how bad we suck this year. Go Trey Lance. He getting a start today.
He's going to need a lot of championship to catch up with the Cowboys, even though, you know, I was born through them during the, when they had their championships, but a lot of young people weren't.
No, if I'm thinking about my MVP, who I think will get it, it's hard not to give it to Lamar. I mean, Josh Allen also had a good year too, but damn, I don't know where the Ravens would be. You can say the same thing about Josh Allen too, but Lamar has looked like a class of his own in the plays that he makes on the field. So, and I heard like the discussion, oh, he's already won it twice. We shouldn't give it to him a third time, let somebody else win it. That is stupid as fuck. Why would you, just because he won it before, he shouldn't win it again? No. That just tells you how good he really is, right? So I think Lamar gets it, but who I would give it to myself? Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow has literally wheeled the Bengals to potentially a playoff spot. They've had to win out for like the last 5 weeks or so to even get to the playoffs. 4 or 5 weeks or just to get to the playoffs. He, except for this last game, I believe only two or three times this year, he did not pass for 3 touchdowns in the game. Wild to think about. And all you hear about, oh, Joe Burrow is not that. He's not this. He's overrated. The man already been to a Super Bowl. Yes, did he not win it? Okay, he didn't. But he's gotten to the Super Bowl. He's literally keeping the Bengals in a playoff run right now. If they did not have Joe Burrow, it'd be fucked. It'd be bad. It'd be just going down south. But there you have. If they went out, I'm trying to think now. They already played. So they played yesterday. They're done. So they have, I think they need a couple people to lose to get into the playoffs. But Joe Burrow is that man. He definitely deserves that MVP. So he gets my vote. Offensive player of the year. Who do you have?
For this one, I would, offensive player to me would be a 9 QB because the QB always gets the MVP. And for this one,
I think we're both going to be on the same. We're going to be on the both same. I think we're going to be on the same wavelength, but let's see what you say.
I mean, for this one, it's hard not to give it to Saquon Barkley.
And we're on the same wavelength, baby. What I told y'all.
I mean, you know, Barkley has just been incredible. He's got 2,000 yards. And I think this is going to be both my my call and the call of the NFL. I mean, 2,000 yards, 13 touchdowns. You know, he's just been incredible, and he had the highlight of the year, so that that may not come into play on you know, on voting, but you know, it was just an incredible year, and he was the motor for the Philadelphia Eagles, the most valuable player on the Philadelphia Eagles. Sorry,
by far,
but by far, you know, he was everything for that team. So it's hard for me not to give it to Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, Saquon was a dog, and is a dog going forward. He's going to be a dog. I think he still has about, if everything goes well, and if you see him on the field, he got the athleticism going to keep him good. Right, going for like 3 to 4. No, this year or this game, no, he's not playing today. He's already been ruled out. They're sitting there starters. And if you really think about it, he had the chance to beat Eric Dickerson's record today if he did play. He was that close. I guess they don't want to take any chances, because if he goes down, I seriously think, especially with Jalen Hurts being banged up, Saquon go down, they're already in a bad mix-up. So I understand not chasing the record and sitting your guys, but it would have been nice to see Eric Dickerson's rushing record go down. It's been around for so long. Guys have come so close, just hasn't got to it. So, shout out to Saquon, man.
Did he really beat it? If he beat it in 17 games as opposed to 16 games?
Yeah, Eric Dickerson. I think Eric Dickerson said that too. He said, "I did it in less games." If he does break it,
so there will always be an asterisk, even if somebody beats it. And Saquon could have come close to do it in a 16 game and sat out. And sat out week 17. He came damn close. I think it was just one subpar game against Pittsburgh late in the season that kind of took it out of the running. But he could have definitely got it in 16 games. So yeah, I think it's almost the yards per game record at this point with the weird, because they at some point they may be 18 games, so all of the 16 games
that'd be stupid as hell. We don't need no 18 game season
for a few years, so you know, where there's money it'll probably happen. So yeah, maybe we're gonna go to a yards per game record, which I think the infamous OJ Simpson holds at this point.
Yes, he does. Rest in peace,
game seasons.
Rest in peace to that man, OJ. If the glove didn't fit, you must have quit. Defensive player. defensive player of the year. Some people might say it's TJ Watt. I say fuck no. But who do you have for defensive player of the year?
The defensive player of the year in my book, and will probably be the guy that's voted for defensive player of the year. It's he's gonna run it back. It's Myles Garrett. He's people could give it to Trey Hendrickson. He led the league in sacks this year, but
you could
just nobody has the impact of Myles Garrett on the defense.
No, he's so nasty. Myles Garrett's a monster, and he goes out. He at one point was playing on like two high ankle sprains. Bro, go home. Like, what are you like? go ice up, my G. Like, what are you? But he's a warrior. And if you look at the analytics of things, him and Michael Parsons, and I'm biased, is second best defensive player in the league, right? But when you look at Myles Garrett on a down and down basis, that man's a monster. Since he came into the league, and he's already over 100 sacks and I think he's only 28. Come on, bro. Like, he's, we might be looking at some point of time, he might not get to, what was his name? Allen? No, Smith. Was it Bruce Smith? Bruce Smith. He might not get to, I think it was Bruce Smith. Yeah, Bruce Smith. I mean, he might not get to his overall, you know, record, but he might get close, though. And I love me some Myles Garrett. I don't like TJ. TJ Watt, he's cool, but and he makes splash plays this year. But when, like I said, when you look at down and down out, Myles Garrett makes a bigger impact than TJ Watt does.
Yeah, TJ Watt had a down year. I think he only had 11 sacks this year. As somebody that had him in the IDP league, he just didn't have the same impact. And if you look at some of the advanced stats, he wasn't even the best defensive player on his team. And I'm just kind of looking at PFF right here. Myles Garrett was third in defensive rating behind a guy who probably would have won the award if he hadn't shattered his leg, Aiden Hutchinson.
Hutchinson was killing it.
And, and this other guy, I'm not even sure who he is, Shaka Hayward. It looks like he doesn't have enough games to qualify because I didn't put in the minimum stats. So basically, he was first in guys that played most of the season in defensive impact. And he had 56 hurries on the season, so he was second in that total, second in sacks, and first in impact. So it's hard not to give it to him again.
Yeah, it's hard to give it to T.J. Watt when he wasn't even top five in pressures this year. I don't even think he was top 10 in pressures this year. Automatically out. Get that boy out the conversation. T.J. Watt, no hate on you, but also you're a Steeler, so fuck yourself. I don't like you, boy. That's my cowboy in me. Offensive rookie of the year, and you already know where I'm going with this one, bro. You already know who I'm thinking of this, man. But I'm gonna let you get yours out the way. But you already know who I'm thinking about.
When we had our rookie QB rankings earlier this season, I went with Bo Nix because that's who I had at the time. But he's been surpassed. By this guy. He was dealing with a rib injury at the time, and I know that was a big part of why he was struggling at this period of time. But it's hard not to give this award to Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels has just turned a shit franchise. No? Something smells?
That's not the answer I was looking for. But I'm gonna let you finish though.
Offensive rookie of the year. It's hard not to give it to Jaden Daniels. You're looking at a guy that had 30. At this point, he has 3,500 yards, 25 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and that's not even talking about what he does on the ground as a rusher. So. And the impact he's had on Washington, who's been a laughing stock of the league for years, barely eclipsed Bo Nix, who's also had a great year. And this is a lot to say about how good this rookie QB class was. I could have gave it to Brock Bowers, who broke every tight end rookie record and is the tight end one in Dynasty right now. But just what he's done, especially in the last few weeks, beating Philadelphia, although, you know, Philadelphia did lose their quarterback, but still, just to be able to beat Philadelphia and come into the playoffs with a winning streak, won a tough game against Atlanta. And he's going to the playoffs. We're not sure if Bo Nix will go to the playoffs, but Jaden Daniels has already punched his ticket. So, just to have the impact on a franchise like Washington, who didn't even have a football name a couple years ago, and to put that team in the playoffs, the sky's the limit for this guy.
Yeah, man. I'm gonna have to go with Brock Bowers, dog. You know how I feel about my dogs, man. You already know how I feel about my dogs, man. Go with Brock Bowers. He had 108 receptions, which makes him third in the league. At the tight end position, he had 1,144 receiving yards, which is seventh. He broke, like you said, he broke Mike Ditka's long-time rookie tight end receiving record. And then he broke the rookie record in all wide receiver tight ends for most receptions in a season. That man's a dog, man. He didn't even have a good quarterback basically all year. He's been working with shitty boy Aiden O'Connell. And then who was the other motherfucker? I can't remember.
Gardner Minshew.
And no disrespect to you, Minshew. You know what I'm saying? But he ain't have no good quarterback. Now, you toss him. Now, if you toss in Shador Sanders, you toss in a little Cammy Ward. Hell, if they even go get Dart, man, I think that Raiders offense turns a little leaf. I think they turn a corner. If they actually go get a running back? I don't know. I do. Yeah, you know I mean, like if you look, they have Alexander Mattison, not shit. He's actually one of the worst running backs last year of making somebody miss of running backs who had over 75 plus carries. Don't want Amir Abdullah. He's an older back, but he did serve a little bit of some. And then Zamir White, also go dogs, roof. But he had to be the most overrated, overhyped starting running back at the beginning of the season to get. So, no, man, they needed a quarterback. And Brock Bowers still had a record-breaking season with Doodoo Kaka, okay? Doodoo Kaka. This is Brower. I can't wait to see what he does next year. He's only 22. We're looking at the tight end one already, and it takes typically at the tight end position 2-3 years to really start coming on, the learning curve to really start going. That boy was whooping ass day one. Go dogs. I almost want to end the goddamn episode on that one. I swear. Love me some Brock Bowers, boy. I wish he was a Cowboy because Jason Ferguson he's okay. You know what I mean? I will say that. We need a lot more from Jake Ferguson as a Cowboy, but boy, I'd love me some Bowers for the future.
Schoonmaker.
Defensive rookie of the year. This one, I feel like I do know who will get it, but I'm not too sure. I think it's Jared Verse from the Rams that gets defensive rookie of the year. But you could also throw on those guys from Philly, those corners too. But who do you think?
I think it's Jared Verse. I mean, just to see, you know, the impact he's made on that defense. They lost Aaron Donald and everybody expected their defense to just crater. And the fact that they didn't, it's hard not to give it to Jared Verse.
Yeah, Jared Verse is, and you know, he was making certain offensive tackles look silly this year of how he was doing them boys. I wish that was another guy that I had on my team as a Cowboy. And if you think about it, there was other defensive guys that went in like Latu for the Colts. You had Brian Murphy with the Seahawks. You had Dallas Turner with the Vikings. Those guys I don't think had as impact as Verse did. The Quinyon Mitchell, he had a good season. I still think Verse had a better one, you know, so I think it's versus award to lose. And then lastly,
third in the league in the hurries. So he was getting there.
He was getting busy. He was getting down with it. So especially
some more of those to sacks, but they will in the near future.
You know, and if you think about it as a pass rusher, what you saw from his rookie year, it just gets you excited to see what that year two jump is, that year three jump is. So I think Verse gets defensive rookie of the year. And then our last award, who I think, if you were to ask me 7 to 8 weeks into the season who I thought it was going to be before he got hurt, I would have named this guy. I would have said J.K. Dobbins. First 8 weeks through, J.K. Dobbins, from all the stuff he went through, all the injuries, and we're not talking about little injuries. We're talking about major injuries he came back from. He would have got my vote. But damn it, how can I not go with Sam Darnold? How can I not go with the come? He is the comeback kid. Still only 28. Got the Vikings at 14-2.
You got to give it to Dick Hammer Jr. You never seen on the draft? His granddaddy was named Dick Hammer. That's real. So he might be Dick Hammer the third.
Oh goodness. Oh no.
You didn't see that one coming.
I did not.
Dick Hammer.
Oh God. Well, that's a nickname, I tell you.
His real name.
That's a nickname, I tell you.
I don't know, but yeah, no argument there. I mean, he slotted in for one of my favorite rookies, J.J. McCarthy, and he's earned himself a $45-50 million per year contract. So, he got the Vikings on the verge of being a number one seed if they can win today. Usually I like to give this award to somebody that's coming back from like injury, not coming back from being shit, but. He's the obvious choice.
And there's a lot of talk of what do the Vikings do next year with Sam Darnold and the J.J. McCarthy situation. And then you throw Daniel Jones in there, which I don't really think is a factor in that three-head competition. It's not a factor whatsoever. So I don't think Sam Darnold leaves that building. You can't allow him to leave that building, right? Now, could you see a situation where the Vikings trade away J.J. McCarthy?
No, they're not going to trade him. He would be the number one. He would probably be the number one pick in this draft, honestly.
He would. I can see that.
If he had stayed and enjoyed his success in Michigan this past year, he would be the number one pick, hands down, in this draft. He's better than any of the quarterbacks coming out of this draft. There's no way they let him go. I know they still love him in that building. I think maybe the compromise is maybe they tag Darnold and, you know, make him do it again next year. But I don't think they outright give him the $50 million over 4 or 5 year contract. Because that's a good way to cripple a franchise, and they've been working towards creating cap space for a couple of years now. They've gotten out of the Albatross Kirk Cousins contract, and I think they want to eventually get J.J. McCarthy on the field. That's why they drafted him so high. So if I was to guess, if I was to predict, I'd say they tag Sam Darnold. And that gives them an asset that they can then trade if need be, having them still in the building. And they can kind of assess, going into 2025. It's kind of weird. If they were going to extend him, you think they would have done it already, considering all of the success he's had. But I think they kind of want to see what they do in the playoffs. You know, it's going to be very hard for them to let him out of the building if he wins a playoff game or, gets to the conference championship, Super Bowl. It's going to be, there's going to be a lot of more drumbeat of keeping him on a long-term deal. But I guess what it boils down to is how he does in the playoffs.
Yep. We'll see if he comes out and chokes and looks bad. Maybe that kind of, slows down on your talks of, damn, we need to get this guy and make him stay, give him a lot of money. But if he comes out, let's say, I'll give you a hypothetical, Rocco. If Sam Darnold gets you to the Super Bowl and wins, what happens?
they're probably going to sign him to a long-term contract. That's, you know, at that point you have to go with it because you've seen him be able to get you all the way. What if he gets you to the conference championship and gets blown out?
I think you can 100% then see a QB competition somewhere. You know, I don't know how or when J.J. McCarthy will be good to go, because we did see that he had to have a second surgery on that knee that he was having. I think if you're the Minnesota
that
Vikings,
was a conflicting report. I didn't think that was a second was surgery.
Was it?
I think so.
Okay. I mean, hey, if everything is good to go, then shoot, I am all with it. I have J.J. McCarthy on one of my squads, and I also have Sam Darnold on that same team. So whatever they do, if Sam Darnold doesn't come back if Sam Darnold is remain the starter, I got to figure out, okay, damn, that was kind of a waste of a pick on J.J. McCarthy, and where I could have pivoted somewhere else, but I'm going to make it do what it do.
If you're pivoting off of J.J., I'm buying, because eventually he will stud for somebody.
Okay, that leads me to a second question then, on that same topic then. Would you feel better taking your shot with Penix? Because you said if someone's selling, you're buying. Would you be a quicker buyer for J.J. or a quicker buyer for Penix?
I think I go with J.J. I think I had him higher ranked coming into the league, and he's younger. He's much younger. I think he's just turning 22, whereas Penix, I think, is 25 or 26. So even if J.J. is a stash, I believe at some point he will emerge for somebody, and I like his talent. I think he can move a little bit better, and I just kind of like his throwing on the move. Where I still worry about some of the long term injuries for Michael Penix, because he's also dealt with a lot of injuries.
I don't know how to feel about that one. Mind you, I do say I do have J.J. McCarthy. I am going to hold. I think that's kind of one of those situations where you hold, right? You don't sell quick. And if you do get an offer to where, alright, I can move him, bet. But those are one of the situations, like Rocco says all the time, I don't believe in selling players low. Him and his knee will die on my squad. If anything else, if he never plays another snap in the NFL, he won't play for another dynasty team. I'll tell you that.
I promise you that. I'm stubborn with my guys. Stubborn as hell.
So, we have one more topic for the day. I think it's been a real good episode. We're 50 minutes in. We love talking about, man, if you can't tell, our episodes, I think there's only been one where we went 30, and that's when Rocco was traveling. Other than that, we can talk about fantasy for hours and hours. If you really let us, we can talk about this. So, man, do we find appreciation on this. And with the offseason coming, or being here basically, how we structure our videos and the topics that we will be going over changes. So, we will be going more in depth into certain avenues of, you know, off-season rebuilding. We will be going deeper looks into how you structure your fantasy teams and different strategies you should implement into your off-season regimen, if you will, to by the time September comes around, you're already good to go. You don't really need to upgrade your team, but if you do throughout the season, it's like little specks in here to really just add, you know, that depth to your squad, right? So, NFL Week 18 games today. Anthony Richardson will not be playing for the Colts for Joe Flacco is in, but he is presumed to be the starter for the 2025 season. Colts go against the Jacksonville Jaguars. How do you feel about those two organizations right now? Jacksonville Jaguars have Trevor Lawrence on IR. He's, you know, nursing injury. He should be good to go for that 2025 season. He's still a young quarterback. And then the young quarterback for the Colts, Anthony Richardson, like I said, presumed the starter for 2025. A lot of those, I feel like both those franchises have a lot riding on 2025. What do you expect from those organizations?
It's hard to say with the Colts because they are just a shit organization right now. It seems like they would, have set up their young quarterback for success more. I mean, maybe it's him. I mean, we keep finding out things like it's the mental aspect of the game that's letting him down, like the preparation part of it, the, you know, treating his body right part of it. So that's on him, but that's also on the team.
Yeah.
Big time, I believe that's on the team. You drafted the guy, so you know him, but, you know, you need to get in there and kick his ass a little bit. If that's how he was coming into the league, maybe you shouldn't have thrown him out there as a day one starter. Maybe he needed to sit back and learn from veterans. So I still believe in Anthony Richardson. His athleticism, you know, will I believe make him a star one day. But he's one of the youngest quarterbacks in the league, so it may take a little bit more time than us impatient fantasy gamers want. It may not happen in Indianapolis. If he does move on, hopefully he gets into a team with a much better structure. But the owner of that team is, let's say, he's been known to be a little bit of an alcoholic. And amongst other substances. So, the dysfunction comes from the top down. And as far as Jacksonville, I'm not sure if they have the right coaching staff in place. So hopefully they can get a different coaching staff. A big problem for that team is the offensive line.
So sucks.
Hopefully they can get that fixed in the offseason. I still have some,
but they,
Trevor Lawrence.
I do too. I have Trevor Lawrence in multiple leagues. And you got, and then one of the brightest spots of the season for them, who I think got snubbed for the Pro Bowl, Brian Thomas. Zay Flowers made the, I'm not saying Zay Flowers is trash either, but Brian Thomas should have made the Pro Bowl over Zay Flowers. Let's be honest. Let's keep it a buck. He had a better season, he was more consistent. Brian Thomas for me by far should have made a Pro Bowl.
You can argue that he was the top receiver,
in the AFC. Except for Chase, he was like, if you really put it, like, look at
top rookie receiver.
Yeah, if you look at the AFC wide receivers, right? How many guys are you taking over Brian Thomas at this very moment? You got Jamar Chase.
Triple Crown winner.
Yeah, Jamar Chase. That's it. That's if you like. And I'll just to give you an idea of the receivers that are in the AFC, right? Excuse me. You got Davante Adams. Okay. You have.
Tyreek Hill.
You got Tyreek Hill. Like I said, you got Jamar Chase. I'm looking at somebody. He should be a Pro Bowler. Zay Flowers, T. Higgins. Like you said, Tyreek Hill. I'm looking at these names, and I'm not Quentin Johnson. That's another. Jerry Jeudy. Who else do we have? You know what I mean? We're John Metchie III, Jacoby Myers, Adonai Mitchell. George Pickens. Nico Collins is top five. He's top five. So would you rather have Brian Thomas or Nico Collins?
At this point, I think I would rather have Nico just because he's attached to what feels like a little bit better quarterback, even though he's had a terrible season. But you can make an argument either way. And, I mean, Brian Thomas definitely had a way, way, way better rookie season than Nico Collins did.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say that. Nico Collins didn't really start coming on.
And Brian Thomas done it with Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence.
He has. And can we say emphasis on Mac Jones? Okay? Emphasis on Mac Jones. Mac Jones is who he's tossing him the ball. Okay? Trash. Basuda. And for all my bilingual folk, okay? He's not good. So he's getting it done. He had like a 3-touchdown game from Mac Jones. What the fuck? Make it make sense. You know what I'm saying? So I like me some Brian Thomas. And being in Florida, you hear a lot about Jacksonville Jaguars when they do suck. I miss the glory days when they didn't. I love it. Fred Taylor is one of my favorite players from Jacksonville or to play for the Jaguars. So I always will. They're not my team whatsoever, but I will root for them to have a successful season unless they play the Cowboys and it's fuck that. But you know what I mean? But other games we have for week 18, we have the Panthers versus Falcons. That's a tie game right now in the first quarter. We have the Texans versus Titans. Texans winning at that moment with up a touchdown. We have Eagles versus Giants, Jaguars, like I said, versus Colts, Commanders versus Cowboys. And that boy, Trey Lance, man, he's kind of has a couple big throws so far. He had a 33-yard bomb to Kamate Turpin. He's also hit Jalen Tolbert on a long pass, too. Man, I don't know. That boy, I don't know what might have taken Trey Lance so far to start, you know, to start this year. I know we still felt like we were in it for the playoff push. I never thought, after that went down, I didn't think we were going to We weren't in it.
What you did by starting Cooper Rush is you screwed up your draft slotting. If I was the Cowboys and I was in charge, I would have put Trey Lance out there the moment Dak Prescott got hurt because, mm-hmm. you know, you need to know what you got in Trey Lance. Is he, you know, potentially the future at that position for the team? Or mm-hmm. do you have to kind of move on and find another guy? Putting Cooper Rush did basically nothing but ruin draft slotting.
And before we head out today, a question that I have for you, because I'm looking at this Bears-Packers game. Right now, Bears are up, beating the Packers 7-0. We're midway through the first quarter, and the Bears are about to get the ball back from the Packers. What, in this final game of the 2024 season and the season that Caleb Williams have had, and in general, Chicago, what are you looking from them in this last game to make you feel better? Like, I'm one of those people that did have one-on-one maybe two or three times throughout the leagues I had, and I selected Caleb Williams. What are you looking for in this last game of the season to make you feel better? And it's not like Caleb has had a horrible season. When you look and you put his passing stats next to Jaden Daniels, they're not too far from each other. Mind you, Jaden Daniels gives you that rushing side upside, right?
Yeah, I saw the same post on one of the socials, and they conveniently left out the almost 900 yards rushing from Jaden Daniels. That's the difference. But anyway, you know, what I'm looking for from Caleb Williams is just not to suck as bad as he has the last couple weeks to do something. But honestly, you know, this season is just, you know, we can just throw this season away for Caleb Williams because, I mean, it was never going to work for him this year. I mean, he's been through multiple coaches, multiple offensive coordinators.
Offensive line been up and down.
Yeah. And, I mean, he's had some good receivers, but literally everything about that else about that team sucks. So what I'm looking for from Caleb Williams is just don't get hurt. Go into 2025 healthy. That's all.
And then have your fingers crossed that you get an offensive-minded head coach coming your way. Ben Johnson, or as I've been hearing more through the grapevine, Mike McCarthy, if he ends up leaving Dallas, could end up in Chicago. I'm not sure how beneficial that would be to Caleb. I think Ben Johnson would be... You're right, though. You can't complain.
Better than what he's got.
Yeah, so... No, that's what we're looking for in these Week 18 games. You're looking to end up on a high note. You want to end on a, you know, players that you've seen struggle throughout the season. You want to see them have some type of consistency or end on a good note, right? But, and it kind of saddened, like I said right there, it's just the last week of the regular season, which means football is almost at a very end. We're almost, you know, out of you know, football... that window and into other sports is very depressing now that I'm thinking about it. But we still got a lot more to give. Fourth and Fantasy still got content coming. We
go right into draft season, man. It all ends. We go right into the off season. We go into draft season. We go into free agency season. You know, we're going to get a lot.
The whole nine.
Looks at some of these young prospects, Senior Bowl, all these end of the season playoffs that are coming up, we'll get a good chance to scout players. So it's a it's a 360 day sport.
Yep, 365. Year in, year in out. You are in dynasty. If you don't want to do dynasty, do redraft. If you're not going to be around in the offseason, do redraft. You're not going to be making trades throughout the offseason, do redraft. If you're not going to be staying active in your league, go to redraft. I don't want to hear no more excuses of it's the offseason. Brother, I don't give a fuck if it's the offseason. Make some trades. Be alert. Look into your messages. Even if you don't want to make the trade, reject it. Don't leave nobody hanging in your messages. And that's my final note on the 2004 fantasy season. It's been a fun ride with y'all, but it's time to transition. Wednesday, we'll be getting into more of our topics like our Debbie Player of the Week, Cam Scatterbo, from Arizona State. Had a really good bowl game. We're going to be speaking about him. We also will be going over our Dynasty offseason moves. And then also our Fantasy Awards of the Year, Best Value, Best Rookie Per Position, and more. So stay tuned on Wednesday at 9 p.m. We will be bringing the vibes. And that is it for today. We hope y'all have a great rest of your day. Enjoy this last week of games. It's the playoff season. And if your football team isn't in the playoffs, neither is mine. So join me on the couch, my boy. Me, Rocco's isn't either. Join us on the couch. We good. Till next time, Rocco, be good.
Fourth and Fantasy. Like, share, subscribe.
And we out.